Hare Krishna. So tell me about these men.
This are boys from IIT Kharagpur. Last time the boys who came, they were junior boys. This is another batch.
Yeah.
So
these are not junior boys, I can tell.
Some of them are new. 4 or 5 are new. Others are, most of them are standing, you know. 4 or 5 are new.
Senior boys.
Yeah. It's a great fortune to meet His Holiness today at Vrish Ramana. Everybody knows actually. Reading about him, hearing about him a lot.
Someone wrote a book about
him? Mm-hmm. Lectures.
Okay.
We have a young lectures.
Okay. We brought a mridanga. Are we going to have some kirtan?
No.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Okay, who's leading?
Actually, we carry wherever we go, mridanga kirtan and all.
Okay. Well, that's good. We can have kirtan, we can have kirtan in an instant notice. You want me to talk to you, or you want to have kirtan?
Whatever you want.
Short kirtan. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatyadesha Tarine
Namaste.
Nityananda Shriya Jeta Gadadhar Shrivasadi
Yeah. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kunradha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Sabadita Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Jamanamayi Ki Jai Susi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Go with Prem and Ande. Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale. Shri Bhade Bhakti Vedanta Shaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve. Gaudavani Pracharne. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Seems like you have some questions written down. No, that's something else. Okay, we have some questions not written down. Or I should just talk.
Hare Krishna, if you have any questions, you can ask.
Yes.
Many times devotees say,
should take guidance of Guru, Krishna, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Yes.
Can you explain how to take?
Now, Shastra means, especially Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, all Prabhupada's books. You read, try to understand, try to follow. Straightforward. And then, because the book requires some, how do I apply the book? The book says, for example, mold your life in such a way that you'll always think of Krishna. And then you may say, well, how should I mold my life in such a way that I always think of Krishna? Now I'm doing my studies, what should I do? Should I leave my studies and join the ashram? Mm-hmm. Should I do something different? What should I do? So then you may approach the sadhu or the guru and say that I've read the book, I understand something, but now what am I supposed to do? How should I understand this? How do I apply this? So then the guru may say, you do this or you do that, or consider this way, consider that way. Or you may have some question, I read this here and I read that there, and this seems to say A and this seems to say B, which is just the opposite. How do I understand? You may have some question about the philosophy. So again, then you approach the guru. What is the meaning of this? What is, how should I understand this? So, guru, sadhu. Shastra. Guru and Sadhu follow the Shastra. Shastra is the standard. Someone's claiming to be Guru, but he doesn't follow Shastra, and that's Utpatayaiva Kalpate. He's not Guru, he's a problem. See, Guru and Sadhu are understood to be bona fide because they follow the Shastra. And they, what they speak is speak Shastra and they follow Shastra. Not that Shastra says one thing and they say the opposite thing. And not that they say the same thing as Shastra but then do the opposite. But they say the same thing and they teach by their practical example. Is that okay?
Sometimes in the scriptures, we get some doubts. We feel that it's contradicting something which I've read already or which I understood. So what should we do? I mean, it's also said in the scriptures itself that we should follow whatever it's told. I mean, blindly. Like, whatever.
Sometimes you read something and it seems to be contradictory. That's what you're saying. You read two different things in two different books and they seem to be opposite.
Might not be connected to what we have read, might be connected to what we have experienced, mean what we think was true.
That may also happen. I read something in Shastra and say, that doesn't match my experience. Shastra says this, but it doesn't seem that way to me. So then we may also, again, approach the sadhu. I read this in Shastra, but it doesn't seem to match my experience. So then he may explain, no, your experience is all rubbish. what have you understood by my experience? You know, so many things appear to be, by my experience, the sun appears to be a ball in the sky, maybe about the size of a soccer ball. That's my experience. So then we have to approach the scientist. The scientist says, no, the sun is 93 million miles away, it's so big. And similarly, the guru may say that your experience is rubbish. What do you know? Or he may say, you haven't understood the Shastra. You're looking at it this way, but you have a misunderstanding. Different ways. Just like Prabhupada, we had some ideas that no, we've understood this from modern science. Bhagavatam is not in agreement, but your modern science is rubbish on so many points. You know, life is created from chemicals, and all your rubbish. And he gave practical evidence. All right, it's like you tell me what chemicals to give you. And let me see you create some living being. Maybe a mosquito or an ant or a virus. Create something. Tell me what you want, what chemicals, and I'll give you the chemicals. Now you create something. Modern science says, yes, we can create life from chemicals. Life is created from chemicals. But science means demonstration, right? You have to demonstrate what you're talking about. So what have they demonstrated? Just talk. So Prabhupada said that Shastra is right and your science is rubbish. Sometimes they're right about some things, but on this they're very wrong.
I have some doubt about what I read in the Prabhupada book. In one of the purports, Prabhupada says that Krishna should be gone. Krishna should be beyond the modes.
Krishna is beyond words.
Beyond words and ignorance.
Beyond the modes of nature.
I mean, if he's also controlled by modes of nature, how can he advise us?
Right.
But that's no proper reason.
That's not it.
I mean, if he is God, then he is other.
If which one?
If he is God, I mean, if he is beyond modes of nature, then it follows that he can.
If he's God, then he's beyond the modes of nature.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
But what?
But what Prabhupada is trying to say is that he's. I mean, what he's saying is bona fide, therefore,
Therefore what?
Therefore, Krishna is beyond moksha.
No, the first way. Not that because Krishna's, what Krishna says is right, therefore he's beyond the mode of nature. The other way. Krishna is beyond the modes of nature, therefore what he says is right. You read it the other way someplace?
One place he says that, if he's an ordinary human being like Arjuna, how can his teachings be correct?
If he's not a human being,
if Krishna is an ordinary human being like
Arjuna, human being,
then
how can we trust what he says?
And then how can his teachings be correct? So he's God.
So he's God? The idea is this, that Krishna is accepted as God. Bhagavad Gita means that we're reading Bhagavad Gita because Krishna is accepted as Bhagavan. Dharmam hishakshat Bhagavat pranitam. So if now someone's reading Bhagavad Gita, but he's saying that Krishna isn't speaking like a conventional person, Krishna, then why are you reading Bhagavad Gita? Just like it's accepted that someone is the judge. So if someone says, well, I'll go to the courtroom, but I don't know if I'll listen to this person. No, why'd you come? He's the judge. You see? I go to a person because he's a doctor. Then he gives me some advice and I say, well, I don't know if I trust him. I don't know if he, you know, why did you go? You went to him because you trusted him, but now because you don't like what he says, you say, well, I don't know if he's really a doctor. If you accept it from the beginning that he's a doctor, now you have to accept what he says. Or if he's what he's saying isn't right, then he's not a doctor. But you already accepted that he's a doctor, so now you have to take what he says and go with it. That's the kind of argument. I think so. Is that right? It certainly is. Well, you're on the earthly planet,
yeah.
So you don't have to worry about too much whether you do quarrels or elsewhere. You're here. Apart from that, Kali Yuga goes by very fast on the higher planets, because Kali Yuga is what, 432,000 years? If Brahma blinks his eye, it's over. Not even. How fast is it going? Because Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Yadahur Brahma Novidam. 1,000 of the cycles of four ages put together is one day of Lord Brahma. That means that your Kali Yugas are going by very quickly. You know, like maybe there was a little breeze here for 3 seconds. Yeah, so that's Kali Yuga. Thought I felt a breeze. Oh yeah, that's Kali Yuga. You know, on the higher planets. But they have difficulties even on the higher planets. Not that here there's difficulties and on the higher planets everything is free from trouble. No, even higher planets have trouble there too. Whole material world is troublesome.
Before coming to Krishna consciousness, we hail from different backgrounds, and in that background we were accustomed to worshipping Krishna in different forms. So after coming to Krishna consciousness, we are philosophically convinced that Krishna is the topmost, Supreme God, and the topmost worship is worshipping Him as Vrajendranandan. So, only philosophically we are convinced. So, but actually, in order to take an initiation, like in order to join the sampradaya, chastity, it demands chastity. So, but there is a big tussle. So,
other forms means what? Like Ram, Shringa, Raha, like that?
Balaji
is Krishna. What is the difficulty? What is the difficulty?
But there is an element of feeling that we are not chaste to the parampara. Because in the parampara, like, devotees mostly concentrate on like Radha Krishna worship. But so we are having an element of feeling that we are not chaste. So how, what to?
It's not exclusive that if we're worshipping Radha Krishna, then Balaji gets kicked out. In Radha Krishna, Balaji is included. Balaji is also there. Krishna is there. Balaji is also there. Srinidev is also there. Ram is also there. Lakshmi Narayan is also there. Everybody's there. You have a 1,000 rupee note, so then you have a 20 rupee note, 50 rupee note, 100 rupee note, 500 rupee note, all included. Not bad. Yeah, all included. Now that's Krishna. He's appearing in different moods, but the mode of approach is different. The Balaji Vaikuntheshwara, he's the appearing in the role of the master of Vaikuntha. And Krishna is beyond Vaikuntha. But it's the same Krishna, just when he wants to be the master of Vaikuntha, and then he's playing that way. When he wants to be in Vrindavan, he's playing that way. But if Vrindavan is the most confidential manifestation of Krishna's pastimes. You read Bhagavatam, you can see how good Kumar was seeing the different features. First of this material world, then finally even Vaikuntha, and going beyond Vaikuntha to go look up and down. Have you read?
What the devotee must do, like what the practicing devotee must do, like such is the situation, like
what to do? Chant Hare Krishna. Means what to do? What's the problem? What problem is there?
It's like just even though he may not achieve like a means perfect surrender to Lord Krishna. Like even though he may not do that, like if he follows his immediate agape, that's sufficient. Like
Perfect devotion to Krishna, that's not an easy thing. In any perfect devotion to Balaji, perfect devotion to Radha Krishna, perfect devotion, period, is not such an ordinary thing. But by association and by practice, we're trying to develop. You like Radha Manav? Yeah. Some ideas, places, they have the idea that no, Radha Krishna is, no, they're dead. Krishna is immoral. Krishna is dead. Well, you don't have that problem. That's not. Just you like Balaji. Well, we all like Balaji. Prabhupada also went to have darshan of Balaji. You know? He also went to Tirupati to have darshan of Balaji. whole chapter. Well, no.
Actually, many times I hear lectures on like Vaishnavas, dealing with Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas and all those. And at that time, because tendency is to commit offenses towards Vaishnavas, some guilty feeling comes. And I said that from now onwards I should be careful, I should take necessary measurements, all those. And particularly when come to Dham, we pray intensely also to Lord that to Panchatattva, because they are very merciful. We play intensely all that, please remove this conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
But please remove this conditioning
so
that I can become better servant also. But still, I feel that after I go back again from Dham, those tendencies still remain. Because of false ego or water. Is it that Lord is not listening to prayers, or is it some deficiency in my heart? Because as soon as I go, it means some change should be there. But still,
it's not magic that you come and pray, please do this, and then he does it, and you go back. And you know, wave the handkerchief, and then everything's changed. But you're praying, but you have to do some work also. Please, you know, please remove these tendencies, but then I also have to, from my side, do some work. If he likes, he can do everything. You wake up the next morning, you have no such tendencies. But generally, Krishna is instructing us. Now you do this. You follow this practice, you read these books, you chant this mantra, and you'll come to the stage. Just like suppose you pray to suppose some girl comes and prays to the deity, my dear Lord, let me have a child. Now, then she goes back to her home. You pray to the deity? Yes. Well, where's your child? Huh? And she thinks, well, I prayed to the deity, why don't I have a child? It takes a little time. Maybe you have to get married first. So, Krishna is there helping us. And on the other side, that we have to be patient, enthusiastic, follow the rules and regulations, associate with the devotees, and everything will come. We shouldn't be disappointed that I prayed to Krishna, why doesn't everything immediately happen? It should change.
I mean that till some days, consciously I try, but slowly, slowly that tendency to try also, enthusiasm also decreases. Why is it?
Why does enthusiasm decrease? Maybe due to the material atmosphere. Just like this floor, it gets dirty, then we clean it, then what happens? Next morning, by the next morning, it's dirty again. So again we have to clean, again we have to clean, again we have to clean. So something like that. The material atmosphere is a dirty atmosphere. So, naturally, there may be some always creeping contamination. But by chanting Hare Krishna, we place ourselves in the spiritual atmosphere. By reading these books, by associating with the devotees, we place ourselves in the favorable atmosphere. And we're patient, we're determined, but no, I have to get out of this tendency to criticize Vaishnavas, to be materially attracted. So it's practice. Practice in good association. Is that okay?
Personality, and in this age only he has come directly from, and another age is Vishnu.
Do they actually say that, that Vishnu is supreme and Krishna is coming from Vishnu?
A lot of people go like,
oh,
they worship Vishnu.
No, that we know. But whether they explicitly say, no, Vishnu is supreme, Krishna is coming, or whether that's simply, you know, how the worship is going on. That's the first thing to see. But Krishna is very confidential. The position of Krishna is a little confidential. Not everyone will understand. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye. Yadatam api siddhanam kaschid mandeti. Not everyone will understand Krishna. It's a very confidential business. So generally, the Ramanuja Sampradaya, they're teaching worship of Lakshmi Narayan, sometimes Sitaram. Yes. Because formal, the Lord is presenting himself in the majestic aspect. So he's the Lord. So he's presenting himself as the Lord, Ishar, Prabhu. And we're to learn that we're servants of the Lord. But then still more confidentially, sometimes that Lord is playing like an ordinary human being. And that feature is still more relishable, still more comprehensive or complete. Because the Aishwarya is displayed by Narayana, Lord Vishnu. And he's reciprocating the devotion of his servants. But Krishna is going beyond that. More intense devotion. When the devotion becomes still more intense, the devotee forgets. Just like in Bhagavad Gita. Could you get me my little red book? Bhagavad Gita should be on my table. Krishna is showing Arjuna the Vishwarup. And Arjuna is offering prayers with folded hands. And Kritanjali, he's offering obeisances with folded hands to the Supreme Lord and offering obeisances from all sides. That's described. Yeah. He's offering obeisances in so many ways, accepting Krishna as the universal form. Shashanka Prajapatis Tam Papitamahascha Namo Namaste Stu Sahasrakitva Punascha Bhuyopi Namo Namaste Namapuras Tarata Prishtataste Namostute Sarvata Eva Sarva. So he's offering obeisances from all sides. So Namaste, 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 Namaste. And all the demigods are offering you obeisances. Actually, your Vayu, your Yama, your Yama, your Varuna, your Prajapati, your everything. I offer my obeisances to you again and again and again. Then he's remembering Saketi Matva Prasabham Yaduktam He Krishna He Yadava He Saketi Ajanata Mahimanam Tavedam Maya Pramadat Pranayena Papi. yachchabha sartam asatkutosi vihara shayasana bhojaneshu ekota vapyachuta tat samaksham tat kshami etam mahamapramayam. That so many times we were sitting together and joking together and eating together, and I was sometimes insulting you. Oh, Krishna, you're very honest, meaning you're lying. I was treating you just like an ordinary friend. I didn't realize who you were. I forgot who you were. I was treating you just like, you know, my close friend. And now I see how great you are. Please forgive me. So there the Aisharya is very great. Oh, the sun and moon are your eyes, and you have thousands of heads. You're so powerful. You're so great. All the devas are offering their obeisances to you. The whole world is under your control. So he's filled with feelings of awe. But actually the other feeling is higher. Why was he treating Krishna just like an ordinary friend? Out of love. The love between Krishna and Arjuna was so strong that Arjuna forgot that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the worshipable Lord of all the demigods. Now Krishna is my friend, that's all. That's higher. Similarly, in Goloka Vrindavan, someone, Krishna is my son, someone, Krishna is my beloved, or the coward boys, their friendship is even beyond the friendship of Arjuna. Arjuna's friendship is respectful friendship. In coward boys, there's no respect. So these devotional feelings are not manifest even in Vaikuntha. In the Damodar Ashtakam also, this prayer is there. Even in Vaikuntha, these things are not shown. So now you've come to show these very sweet dealings. So the devotion to the Lord as Lakshmi Narayan or Sitaram with awe and veneration is approved. But the loving dealings shown in Goloka Vrindavan are still higher. But we can't jump to that platform. That's for the spontaneous devotees. We have to worship the Lord according to regulative principles. So actually our worship is worship of Lakshmi Narayan. Although we're seeing Radha Krishna, but we're worshipping them in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Just like the temple is downstairs, so we all go, and as soon as we see the Lord, we offer our obeisances. Why are we offering obeisances? If we have spontaneous love for Radha Krishna, why obeisances? But because we're recognizing that Radha and Krishna are the supreme worshipable deities, they're the supreme, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, Radharani is his internal energy, so we're offering them respectful obeisances, we're offering all respect. Why? It means actually we're treating them like Lakshmi Narayana. And the worship is accepted by Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayana also. And Lakshmi Narayana are within Radha Krishna. Is that alright?
Like in our college, like many times, many of our students, like our fellow students, friends, like they have one, like sometimes they criticize us, you know, like quite, like they say that we take drugs and all those things, you know.
him to come and take some ganja with you. This is our ganja. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. During chanting, what should be our consciousness? No. This imagining some form is not recommended. The meditation is just to fix the mind on the sound. Not to try to think of some form, some pastime, some... No. Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. Everything will be revealed. Yes. Why do we pray to Radha Krishna and not
Krishna Rukmini or Satyabhama?
Why not Krishna Rukmini or Satyabhama? We're also praying to Rukmini and Satyabhama. They're included in Radharani. Radharani is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita as Sarvalakshmi. So all the Lakshmis are included in Radharani. She's the original Lakshmi. So Satyabhama is also there in Radharani. Rukmini is also there in Radharani. Because Satyabhama has no business in Goloka Vrindavan. Rukmini has no business in Goloka Vrindavan. We never hear that Rukmini has gone to Goloka Vrindavan. Because her business is with Dwarkadish. In Dwarka, Krishna is there, Rukmini is there, Satyabhama is there, so many other queens are also there. That's Krishna's Dwarka Lila. In Dwarka Lila, when we're worshipping Krishna in Dwarka, then Rukmini is there, Satyabhama is there. But in Goloka Vrindavan, that mood is not shown. Rukmini is not interested in any cowherd boy. She's interested in the Lord of Dwarka. But in Goloka Vrindavan, then it's Radha Krishna. But in Radharani, then all the Lakshmis are there. And in Krishna, Dwarkadish is there also. Narayan is there, all the Sarva avatars, they're all there in Krishna. All the avatars of Vishnu are there in Krishna, and all the Lakshmis are there in Trinity Radha. Nothing is left. Same example. Your 1,000 rupee note, you saw all the other denominations are included. Is that all right? Huh? Okay. Shri, Bhu, Nila, all the energies of the Lord are included. Yes?
Sometimes, like, it feels that when you hear lectures about, like, Prabhupada also says, we'll eat our way to spiritual, it seems that it's very easy, just stand, dance, and we'll go to spiritual world. It seems part is very easy. But sometimes it becomes like, since it's too difficult by standing also, we are not able to concentrate, and we go into it like, frustration, yoga. So what should be
Yeah, that's there. That's because we're still in conditioned life. Sometimes we feel up, sometimes we feel down. Sometimes we feel very enthusiastic, and sometimes we feel hopeless. So, therefore, we have to become steady. Dhira, very sober, steady. It means that I may be enthusiastic or not enthusiastic, but I'll be enthusiastic. Just suppose in your schoolwork, sometimes you may feel that you're making progress, sometimes you may feel that I'm going nowhere. But not that you'll say, all right, I'm going nowhere, let me quit. Still you'll think, let me carry on, and eventually you'll push through, and you know, now I understand, now I'm getting the idea, now I'm going somewhere. But it requires your persistence. If you're not persistent, then you'll wash out. Then you'll be overwhelmed. So that's part of the practice, Rupa Goswami says. Utsaha, nishchaya, dhairya, enthusiasm, patience, determination, confidence. Yeah, guaranteed means that everything is favorable. But you can be, just like a rich man, he has every opportunity to be a rich man's son, he has every opportunity to be a rich man also, but he can blow it. He can ruin everything. So Mayapur or Vrindavan, they give us every opportunity, best opportunity. But suppose we're determined to be nonsense rascals, and also you have independence, you can be a nonsense rascal in Mayapur also. That's your decision. But anyone who practices sincerely in Mayapur Dham, yeah, you die a nonsense rascal, then of course Krishna may still be merciful even to a nonsense rascal, but you may have to take birth again due to your, and at least another birth to be a rascal. Maybe you'll become one of these jackals in Mayapur. Not you, someone else. Vrindavan, there's so many hogs, so many dogs. So if we're offensive in Vrindavan, then we may take birth like that. But then in the next life they're liberated. Special mercy of Vrindavan. How do we understand Achintya Veda Veda Tattva? We don't understand it. Achintya.
I mean, when to say that we can't understand it, it's inconceivable. At what point of time should we stop playing logic? Because we can't just stop using our mental faculty.
We understand to some extent, just as we understand that the sun and the sunshine are different. And we understand that the sun and the sunshine are one. Now logically, if you're one, you're not different. And if you're different, you're not one. But still we understand, at least to some extent, theoretically, in principle, that the sun and the sunshine are both one and different. And it's reasonable, we know that if I stand in the sun, I get warm, but if I stand in the sun planet, then I'm finished. So we can understand that there's some difference, there's some oneness. So in that way, it's not unreasonable, not illogical. But to fully understand, that requires...
I'm saying that, I mean, by reading scriptures, some points just seem to bounce off your head.
Mm-hmm.
Some points you just can't understand.
Some points you just can't understand.
But that doesn't fit into your logic, so you have to give up.
Your logic may not be everything, you know?
Yeah. how do you understand that what we are reading is correct, or I mean, like,
how do you understand? Actually, you understand by Krishna's mercy. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamu vyantite. Tesham imanukam partam ham agyana janatamaha nashyame atmapavasto agyana dipena pasata. It's not just because you know you're a bright guy and you're in IIT that you'll understand this philosophy. There's so many students who are equally bright, they're also in IIT, and they can't understand a damn thing. Why not? They have good brains, why are you understanding and they're not understanding? Bhaktyamamabhijanati, because you're practicing devotional service, you're able to understand to some extent. Not that Krishna was understood simply by logic. To some extent you can understand something by logic, but logic itself is not sufficient, especially for a person who's still contaminated by sinful activities or the reactions of sinful activities. It's not possible to understand Krishna. Yesham tantakam bhavam jananam punyakarma te dvandva mohanirma. Krishna says those who are freed from past sinful activities and who've amassed pious activities, punyakarma, te dvandva mohanirmukta, they're the ones who are freed from duality and illusion. Bhajante maam dhutapita. Therefore, they engage in devotional service with serious determination. That implies that those who are not free from sins, those who are not endowed with pious activities, are not freed from illusion and duality. Rather, they're bewildered by illusion and overcome by duality. Therefore, they can't understand. You explain things to them a million times and still they don't get it. Any logic you use, it doesn't work for them. So therefore they never become Krishna conscious. So we're on the other side, we're trying to be Krishna conscious, but our logic also is not independently reliable. Really, it's not simply by logic that one can understand Krishna. Vedeshu durvavama durvavamatma, even by scripture. Because tarko pratishta, Krishna's not, can't be understood that way. Mahajana yena katasa pantam. We understand Krishna by following the footsteps of the Mahajanas, not simply by logic. Logic. If logic were everything, people could be, every philosopher would be Krishna conscious. But we see there's so many philosophers, very good logic, and they come to stupid conclusions. Why? Impious. Impious.
Then why do you need to the scriptures? I just follow some words of Guru as it is.
Yeah, that's also you can do. But because we want something to keep our intelligence satisfied, so scriptures are there. Logic is given. Krishna says, Brahmasutra padaischaya vahetu madbhir vinishchitai. The truth is explained in Vedanta Sutra. Hetu madbhir with logic and reasoning. Nyaya prashtan. Logic. It's there. We're not lacking in logic. For those, just like somebody's interested in singing and dancing, we have singing and dancing. Someone's interested in nice eating, we have nice eating. Someone's interested in nice festivals, we have nice festivals. Someone's interested in nice worship, we have nice worship. Someone's interested in drama, we have drama. Someone's interested in logic, we have logic. Someone's interested in art, we have art. Everything is there. Nothing is lacking. So logic also is there.
Does it mean that when we read scripture, we should read in the mood that I believe I have a misconception that I can understand God by English, and therefore I was given the service of reading. But actually I can't imagine it, but let me do it in the service. Or should we read in the consciousness that, okay, I've read scriptures and I don't understand?
You try to understand, otherwise why is it being given? It's not simply that they're given so that you can read them and not understand them. Why, you know, why translate them into so many languages? You could just, you know, tell people, here's the book, you hold it. It's meant for understanding, but we should understand how we'll understand. We'll understand not simply by the power of our logic. If I speculate long enough, if I try hard enough, then I'm sure I'll understand, because I have a good mind and I can understand things if I just, you know, apply what I've learned from school, from other intelligent people, then I'll understand. No, it's not like that. If logic, but the logic will be understood when we get the mercy of Krishna. Nashyami atma bhavasto jnana jipena pasvata. He'll enlighten us from within the heart with the torch light of knowledge, and then we'll understand. Then we'll understand. Not simply by logic, simply by intellectual exercise. No, by devotional service, it's revealed. Therefore, tadvidhi pranipatena pratiprashnena sevaya. We approach the Guru not just to ask questions, but with the mood of service. Even in school, I don't know what the custom is, but the student sometimes brings something for the teacher. In America, an apple or, you know, something, some present for the teacher. Why? The teacher becomes very pleased. Oh, you're so nice, thank you so much. And when the teacher is pleased, then naturally the teacher is giving you more knowledge, more affection, this very nice student, the teacher is desiring that this student should make progress. What happens? Then by the desire of the teacher that you make progress, actually you'll make progress. Otherwise, some student whose business is always to, you know, show how smart he is, and he knows more than the teacher even, and yeah, the teacher thinks, oh, man, you know, when is he going to move on to the next class? You know, he doesn't learn anything, because he already knows everything, he's already so smart, so he never gets it. You know, I'm so busy talking in my head that I can't hear. You know, reading means hearing. But if I'm always talking in my head, oh, I think this, I think that, how will you hear? So, the scripture is logical, it's reasonable, but the logic and reasoning are accessible to a person who follows the path of devotion. Without devotion, we won't understand the logic. It doesn't mean that I just throw up my hands and sing and dance and throw logic out the window. But the logic will be understood not simply by intellectual exercise. It will be understood when Krishna is pleased.
Sometimes, you know, we're told to do something,
mm-hmm.
but we're not convinced that what we're told is best for us, for,
mm-hmm.
for our progress.
Mm-hmm.
So, which course of action should we take? Should we try to understand first that?
Therefore, we come under the guidance. Or just like Arjun, I don't think this, I don't think that, I don't think I should do this, I don't think. Finally, no, I'm bewildered, I don't know what's right. Now I surrender. Then actually he begins to make progress. If we go simply by, well, I think this, I think that. Sometimes we'll be right, sometimes we'll be wrong, sometimes we'll be half right, half wrong. The Vedic method is that come under discipline. under the discipline of the spiritual master, actually the training is that one should think oneself a big fool. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was a great scholar, he presented himself as a fool before his spiritual master. And my spiritual master found me a fool. And actually, if we accept that, that's probably closer to the truth than the other alternative.
What I was saying is, should we first try to understand what he told is correct, and then start doing it? We should first do the service.
No, you first do it. Not that just like the general gives an order, that you drive these tanks to the top of the hill and wait there. Not that the business of the lieutenant is to think, well, wonder why you said that, and does it really make sense to drive these tanks to the top of the hill? And I don't know, it seems to me there are like three other alternatives and we should look into this very carefully. No, he drives to the top of the hill and later he'll understand why the general has said that. By his obedience, he'll understand everything. Just like the student, the teacher says, now I want you to go home tonight and I want you to write this word 25 times. So the student thinks, you know, why 25 times? Why not 12 times? What's so special about 25? It's just a number. There's so many numbers. Why 25? And why this word? There's so many words. And why should I do any of this at all, actually? It doesn't make sense. I'm going to go play football. No, he has to think that, all right, the teacher has told me to do this. Well, I have to do it. Or the teacher gives a batch, you know, 2 plus 2 is 4. 4 plus 4 is 8. You memorize all of this. Why do I have to memorize all of this? You know, he may understand or not understand, but he should do it. And then he'll make progress. Yes. How can we become more attentive in chanting? How can we be more attentive in executing our service also? Associate with those who are attentive and practice. That's the other thing. There's something about that in Narada Bhakti Sutra. The idea is this, that it's good to feel that, you know, I'm not very qualified, I'm a very offensive person, I'm actually very low, I'm not very advanced. That's all very good. That's favorable for devotional service. It's much better than thinking, I'm God's gift to creation. You know, to be puffed up is not very good. So we're trained. It's good for us to be humble, to be meek, to feel that I'm not very qualified. But if I go to that, in that direction, to the point where now I don't serve, then it's self-indulgence. Then it's sense gratification, actually. Just as someone is enjoying, I'm the greatest, someone else is enjoying, you know, oh, I'm so low, I'm so fallen, I'm so useless, there's nothing I should, you know, I might as well kill myself. And it's kind of, there's a kind of sense gratification there. You know? It's a kind of self-indulgence. So Rupa Goswami advises that, or Narada Muni also, it's there in Narada Bhakti Sutra, at least in the commentary. But one should not allow oneself to be so overwhelmed by lamentation that he serves less. Our goal is to serve. So if these feelings get in the way that, no, I'm so fallen that I won't serve, no. Fallen or not fallen, I have to serve. Just like a wife, you know, you come home and you're hungry, where's dinner? Oh no, I'm so fallen, I couldn't cook today. You what? No, I'm the lowest of the low. How could I cook for you? Whatever I am, I have to do my duty, that's all. Some other questions?
Could you speak a little bit about Srila Prabhupada and initiate this contact? Like, when, everything, like,
It's hard to just kind of like pull that out of a and start telling this or that. Sometimes we will tell some stories. The philosophy is the story. Sometimes we'll tell some stories. Maybe we should discuss that in another time. I don't really follow the question. I know. Seems like it's a whole complicated thing. Insufficient guidance. If someone is insufficient, then why take his guidance? And if he's sufficient, he's sufficient. Jai Guru Premanande.